Welcome to our Amigos congregation. Glad you are here, some of you. My tambourine lady is here. She's awesome. She's great. Great to see you. Great to hear you. Hey, we started a new series last week in James. Have your Bibles. We'd love for you to turn to them. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Tonight's going to be a great night. We're glad you are here. There's going to be a couple things within my message that we're going to do to really participate, but also honor. And so as we start, if you were not here last week, I want to just give you the cliff notes because we're going to kind of start a continuation. We're going to continue going down James chapter 1. But we're talking about a faith that works. And we talked about a faith that works in the midst of our trials. And so I want to go back just to the beginning. And here's what he said in the very beginning. He said, hey, everybody, consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, well, it produces something. It produces perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James comes and he says, I want you guys, followers of Jesus, to start thinking differently. Because when you begin to think differently and you begin to renew your mind, then you begin to live differently. So he said, I want you to see trials differently. And he said, I want you to count them all joy. And I told you last week, they're not all joyful. He didn't say be happy in them. He didn't say love them. He said consider it all joy, that God's doing something in you. And it says this, that he wants you to persevere so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And if you want to be mature and complete, there's no shortcut to that. You have to go through trials. And every one of us know that in this life, we will go through trials. And so we want to be mature and complete, lacking nothing in the eyes of God. We would just like to bypass the trials to get there. But you can't bypass, you have to go through. And it is how you respond and how you live in those trials that reflect the one you serve. And we said, well, how do you do this? And Paul wrote it in Romans chapter 12, where he said this. He said, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Okay, everybody, I want you to say it with me. It's going to stay on the screens. Ready? Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Joyful in hope, that's perspective. See, you're looking through your trial to what God's not only going to do in you and through you, but what he has prepared for you. There is hope beyond the temporary. So there's a perspective that comes, and he says, be joyful in this hope, patient in affliction. You know you have to have patience to persevere. So patience and perseverance. In affliction builds that perseverance and it builds something in you. And then faithful in prayer, that's trust in a sovereign God. That he knows, that he understands, that he sees you and he's with you and that he loves you. And so we're going to continue down that path today of really what it looks like to walk in trials and what we are to do as temptation continues to come our way. So I want to start with this question tonight. What is the foundation for how you live your life? What is the foundation for how you live your life? You have two choices. And I think it's this, the world or the Word. The world or the world. James 1, verse 9, he continues on and he says this, hey, believers in humble circumstances, you ought to take pride in their high position. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation. Since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat, and it withers the plant. Its blossoms fall, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. So he's pretty specific. It's like he's talking about trials, and then he comes and he talks about the poor and the rich. Now remember, he's trying to help us think differently. And he comes in a little sarcastic, but yet piercing in his own way. And he says, hey, when you're poor, you actually should celebrate. Because this is actually the height of which you should aspire. Because God's looking at you differently and looking at your situation differently. And when you find out you're rich, he says, celebrate that as well. Because you're actually going to be humbled. One day, it's all going to be swept away. And James says, don't allow your imagination to get caught up or drawn into the snare of wealth because it only lasts for a really short time. See, when you trust in the temporary, you usually will be disappointed. How many of you out there are football fans? How many of you love football? Go ahead, keep your hands up. How many of you could care less about football? Go ahead, raise your hands. Be proud. Be proud. So those of you who care less, you might not understand this illustration, but there has never been, I don't believe, a more excited group of fans this summer than the New York Jets. They acquired future Hall of Fame quarterback Aaron Rodgers from the Green Bay Packers. Big deal. Really big deal. And I think over the summer, the social media and the talk shows ad nauseum, they talked about this and pontificated over the trade. And there was a 400% increase in ticket sales, season ticket sales for the New York Jets. And if you are a sports fan, you know what took place. In the first 4 minutes of his career as a New York Jet, he tore his Achilles and his season was completely done. Done. I almost showed a video of his greatest highlights as a New York Jet, and it was just him running in with the American flag at the beginning of the game. But that's all that happened. And you know what happened? Fan base just lost it. I mean, they can't even believe what just happened. It was swept away in a moment. And he's getting old, and they don't know if he's going to come back. This might be it for him. There was so much hype and so much excitement and so much belief that, oh, the Jets are going to go to the Super Bowl. And in a moment, they went from winning the Super Bowl 16-1 to the odds are now 66-1 that they'll win. And just let me tell you right now, they're not winning. And James says, hey, guess what? Wealthy people, it blossoms. And when it falls, its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, what we put our trust in, what we put our hope in, it'll fade away. And he says, trials serve to remind every single one of us, the rich, those of us who have more than most, that though we're comfortable in this life, it is still only this life which fades as the grass fades, and it browns and the flowers fade away. You see, James is just echoing the prophet from the Old Testament, Isaiah, that said this, the grass withers and the flowers fall. But you see, it is the word of God that will last and endure forever. And if we put our life and our identity into things that fade away, we will fade away also. How much better to put our life and our identity into things that will never fade? For you see, if a man or a woman is only rich in this world, when they die, you just leave your riches. But if a person is rich before God, if their wealth is used to help build the kingdom, when they die, they're going to go on to see their true riches in heaven. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But I'm going to give us a chance to participate in what God does with our riches here. He has blessed this church abundantly, and as Chris said, thank you for your gifts. We have a vision here that we want to plant 10 campuses, and with our denomination, plant 40 churches over the next 10 years. We're at 5 campuses now. We have about 7 out of the 40 churches that are planted that we're a part of. And some of you don't know this, but we have planted a church in Spain. And we have a friend's church in Spain. And so our pastors, who've been going about a year, and they just became a friend's church about 5 months ago or so, they just wanted to send you a little video, an update video of what's going on in Spain. So I'd love for you just to take a look at the screens.
Hola, familia de Friends. Somos Moy y Gretel.
Hi, Friends family. This is Moy and Gretel.
Somos los pastores de Friends Barcelona.
We are the pastors of Friends Barcelona.
Y este mes estamos de celebración.
And this month we are celebrating.
Hacemos un año como iglesia.
We started a year ago as a church.
Y una de las cosas que creo que podemos destacar.
And something that I think we can highlight.
Es que cada semana, cada domingo, una persona no creyente ha entrado en la iglesia.
Is that each Sunday, each week, one non-believer has joined our meeting.
Hace 3 semanas tuvimos nuestros primeros bautismos.
3 weeks ago we had our first baptism.
Fue muy emocionante.
It was really, really exciting.
Porque 8 personas decidieron bautizarse.
Because 8 people gave their life to Jesus.
Y eso fue algo muy bonito como iglesia.
And it was a beautiful thing as
a semana pasada estuvimos sirviendo, remodelando una casa de una familia.
Last week we were serving and restoring a house from a family of our church.
Y esta próxima semana empezamos unas clases de cocina.
And next weekend we're going to start some cooking classes.
Con el objetivo de crear relaciones significativas.
So we can make significant relationships.
Y 11 personas no creyentes se han apuntado ya.
And 11 non-believers are going to join the class.
Así que estamos viendo que en España hay hambre por Jesús.
So we are seeing that in Spain there is hunger for Jesus.
Realmente es algo que estamos viviendo como iglesia.
This is something that we are experiencing as a church.
Y soñamos con ver cómo muchísima gente se acerca a Jesús a través de lo que podemos hacer como iglesia.
And we are dreaming and to see lots of people coming closer to Jesus through our church.
Así que por favor, estar orando por la iglesia en España.
So please keep praying for the church in Spain.
Y con ver muchas iglesias de Friends plantadas por todo el país.
And to see a lot of French churches planted around the country.
Gracias por vuestro apoyo y vuestras oraciones.
Thank you for your support and your prayers.
Adiós.
Bye.
I'm gonna talk about this in a minute, but back in 1995, there was a man by the name of George Norina that got saved at this church, and he was cleaning this church. His company still cleans our church and other churches around the area, and God saved him. In 98, he started a small little men's Bible study, and then it blossomed into our Amigos congregation, and some 25 years later, before people even knew what campuses were, we had one here, and it was our Amigos congregation, and God has blessed that. And since then, we planted six. One has now become their own church, but we have five campuses. And so we have our Amigos congregation. We have our Orange congregation, which you were here last week. They're getting ready to celebrate 10 years of God's blessing here in just a couple weeks, and we're going to celebrate that. We have Eastvale, which went to two services in September, beginning of September, and God's blessing them, and they're blowing out the doors. And then we have Buena Park, which is called Waymaker. One of the visions that we have about being a part of our denomination is this, that there are lots of times hurting churches that need help. There are churches that have gone through seasons and been around a long time, and they have one or two choices. They're either going to die or they're going to need somebody to come in and resuscitate them and give them some life. And Buena Park was that way at Waymaker. One of the really great things is we've come in, our team has come in the last year, and we just now installed, we're getting ready to install our first pastor at Waymaker, permanent pastor. Our team went and helped them over the last 12 months, but Jonathan and Michelle Reeder, who've been on our staff for 17 years, they've been at Orange and helped start Orange for 10 years. They're going to become the new pastors at the end of this month, and we're really excited about that. And that church has turned around, and God's getting ready to use it in great ways, and we're so excited for what's happening there. But along with that, we are getting ready to launch two new campuses this year. Another church came to us and said, we're in need of help. And we need you to come along. And financially, we're not doing real well. And our pastor is about ready to retire. And we need some life. And so November 12th, we are going to launch Friends Church Corona. And we are going to begin. And right now, we're looking at putting our team together and assembling that. And then next year, we are going to launch Friends Church Tustin. It's either going to be in the fall of 24 or in the spring of 25. And Kyle and Bree Bleeker, who have been a part of our staff here, and you've seen him up on stage, they're going to be the pastors that God has called to go to Tustin and start that new work. And so God is doing amazing things in and through this place. And I just want to say thank you for your generosity. Along with thanking you, I'm going to ask you for your help. Because this always comes at a cost, but vision comes at a cost, and so do people, and so I'm going to ask you to join my wife and I, and here's how this works. We're going to ask you to give to what we call our Beyond campaign, and it's pretty simple. For those of you who tithe and give regularly, what I'm going to ask you to do over the next 3 weeks, you only have to do it once. You don't have to do it every week for 3 weeks, just once. We're just going to talk about it for 3 weeks. I'm going to ask you, for every adult that is represented in your home, if you would consider giving an additional $100 to Beyond campaign per person, per adult in your home. So my wife, we're going to give extra money. Some of you will give more than that. But at a minimum, would you join us? We want everybody to participate. Here's what we need. We need $500,000. And if everybody gave $100 per adult in the room, we would blow that. It would be way more than, it would be more than a million. It would probably be like closer to $1.5 million if everybody gave $100. And so this is a pretty easy deal. And for all of us, I just want to ask you to join us. I'm going to ask you to prayerfully consider. Maybe you're not going to give $100. Maybe you're going to give $500. We have somebody that gives every week $500 to our Beyond ministry. Just keeps coming in because they believe in planting churches and they believe in people coming to know Christ. So I'm asking you, inviting you to join my wife and I. And over these next 3 weeks, we're going to talk a little bit about it. Next week, you'll see a video. But you can get that, or you can scan the thing on your chair, or you can write a check and drop it in the box. But I'm going to ask you to just give an extra $100 per adult to join us, and let's help launch these new campuses in great ways. You with me Saturday night? Okay, you with me? You sound like you're with me. He comes and he says, listen up, everybody, don't get caught up in the temporary. He says, invest in tomorrow and what God can do. And I believe that God's called us to invest and to give into something that's eternal. He goes on and he continues, verse 12, he said, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, well, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those that loved him. So as we learned earlier, God really wants us to persevere in trials, and they will produce in maturity and make us complete, not lacking anything. Then James comes along and he says, not only that, and what will happen here on earth, but here is something that is going to happen to you in the kingdom that is to come. There is spiritual maturity for today, crowns for tomorrow and eternity. And you might think, well, crowns don't mean that much to me right now, and maybe they don't. But think about the afterlife. I'm not exactly sure what all those crowns mean, but I know in Luke chapter 19, it says that what you do here, it really matters in what you will be in heaven and what your reward will be in heaven. So he says, when you face trials, you need to stay close to your heavenly Father. And when you persevere through those trials, you will hear these words that he quoted in Matthew 25. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Well done, you're going to receive a crown of life. It's specially reserved for you if you continue to walk with him through the trials and through the temptation that come your way. There is a gift for those who say no to temptation and those who say yes to God. In verse 13, then he tells us how to fight these temptations. He says this, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For you see, God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, then it gives birth to death. So James is really clear. Temptation does not come from God. He cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But James does know something about us as human beings. You see, we have a tendency to blame God when we find ourselves in the midst of those trials. And the same trial might be both a temptation and a trial. And it may be a trial from God's side and a temptation from Satan's side. And if you want to hear more about that, I talked about it last week, and you could go back and listen to that sermon. But make no mistake, he says you, me, that we are at the root of all of our issues. It says because we are getting dragged away by our own evil desires and the things that entice us. And then James gives us this pattern of falling into sin, and he helps us understand that so much of the source of our temptation is actually seen in our own humanity. And sin looks attractive, and it's pleasurable for a while, right? I mean, otherwise, it would have little power over us. But there's a pattern for your sin, James says. And he gives us a metaphor. And he says, metaphor is seen as a mother. The sin is seen as a mother, as the birthplace of our sin. So you drag yourself away, and then your sin is conceived. And then it gives birth. And then that sin grows, and it has diminishing returns, and ultimately, he says, it leads to your death. So one of the commentators said, here is the path that takes you from allowing sin just to even enter your mind and thought, and then it giving birth. First is desire. The lust of your heart lures you in. And then there's deception. We rationalize and we justify what we want and why we want it. So we have desire and deception. And then there is design. This is when the plan starts to be made to fulfill the emotions or the desires that we have. Our will and our conscious decisions to pursue the lust until it is satisfied. And most of our guilt lies right here in this design phase when we're planning and thinking. And then fourth comes disobedience. When we allow the process to actually give birth, And that's when we go against God's best for our lives, which now gives birth to sin, and ultimately that disobedience leads to death. And so there's five stages, really, four stages that lead to death: desire, deception, design, and disobedience. So how do you avoid falling into sin? Well, it should go without saying that the earlier in the process you can shut things down and resist, the greater the chances that you'll avoid sin. That is why Scripture says, hey, I want you to take every thought captive. Because sin starts in the mind before it moves to the heart, and then it ultimately gives birth. That's why Paul says in Romans 12, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be renewed by your minds, be transformed by your minds. That what starts here starts with a desire. And earlier in the process that you can say no to sin and yes to God, well, you have a better chance of avoiding the sin. This is Dr. Pepper. How many of you like Dr. Pepper? Yes, I have a clap. That's great. My wife thinks it's the worst drink ever. It is my favorite drink. I do not have any of these at my home anymore. But the problem with that is this. Why didn't I keep it at my home? Well, there's a proximity to sin, right? I needed to get it out of my house. Problem is, my assistant stocks my refrigerator downstairs with them, and they're there every single day when I walk by. And these cause me to stumble. See, I walk past the fridge, and my desire starts to build up in me. And then I see my little ice maker. I have a little crushed ice maker. Best ice is crushed ice, right? And then I see the empty glass, and it looks so lonely, just sitting right there. And then I see the ice, and I put the ice in, and all of a sudden, I just can't help myself. And I say I'm just going to have one, but one's not enough. And you know what I do? I fill it, and I drink it, and I love it. And yet it's not really good for me. Now listen, I don't want to make light of sin at all. The same thing happens in your life. That there's a desire. And there's something that builds, and you continue to walk down that road, and you just can't resist, and then there's deception, and then you design a way that you can have it, and you justify it, and then all of a sudden you're in disobedience, and you're walking away from God, and it says that sin leads to death. See, I want you to know something. Scripture tells you that you need to flee from sin. Because if you don't flee, it will grab a hold of you. It says to run, to turn the other way. Why? Because the wages of sin, what you pay for your sin, will not be worth what it will cost you in the moment. Because it says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let me just tell you something. We talk a lot about being happy and loving everybody, and that's great. That's our ultimate commandment is we're to love everyone as Christ loved us. Love God first and love others. But we got to remember, God just doesn't want us to be happy. He's called us to be holy. And that means that we have to turn from sin and repent, and that we walk in a newness of life because of Christ, and sin should grieve us. Because what grabs a hold of us, the enemy wants to take us away, and sin should actually grieve us, and that grief should grab a hold of us, because in the eyes of God, we have sinned against him. The beautiful thing is that he just allows us to repent, and his grace is sufficient for all that. But James comes and he says, listen, I want you to be careful, because there's a process to this, and some of you need to be aware and stop it before it gets started. He shifts gears again in verse 16, and he says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above. He's coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift is from above. That is God. That is his character. That is who he is. And as the children of God, he loves to give you good things. Everything good you have is from God and of God. And this church has been showered with God's goodness over 110 years. And after over 25 years of serving in our Amigos congregation, George and Patty Norina are stepping down and retiring from this portion of their ministry. And last week, as we celebrated Dave Roach and his family, this week, we're just going to celebrate George and Patty. Here's what I've said. You guys don't know this, many of you, but I'm gonna tell you. George has been our greatest employee. And I don't say that lightly. I actually mean it. But I mean it in some interesting ways. He has served Amigos. He has a full-time job. He has a couple of them. But he serves Amigos 50 and 60 hours a week without any pay. He never once took a paycheck from this church. In fact, he tithes and gives faithfully to this place. It cost him more, way more to be the pastor, he and Patty, than he ever got paid for. And God blessed his business and allowed him the privilege to serve, but he has served faithfully to this place. And I was watching a video they put together for their 20th anniversary and to see all the creativity he did and all the things that happened. And then when the pandemic came and, you know, George, if you've never met George, man, he's full of life. And there were tons of stuff that they did during the pandemic. One of the most creative things I've ever seen is what they did. They just do great stuff. And George has ministered faithfully. And his partnership and friendship, he has just blessed this church. And tonight, we get to say thank you to George and to Patty for their faithful years of service, for dedicating themselves to the Lord, for doing it all for his glory and his honor. And I'm so thankful that they're a part of our family and they're not going anywhere. It's just time to step aside. And we have already hired a new pastor that has come in. And Fabio and his wife are here, and they've taken over, and God's going to bless them, but we are grateful for George and Patty. So I would love for these two to come to the stage, and I would love for you to stand to your feet and thank George and Patty Norina for their 25, 30 years of service to us. You may be seated. George wanted to say a few things, and so, you know, I gave him the mic a few weeks ago, and you know, he just preached, so I told him he's got just a couple minutes here, all right? But George, whatever you want to say, just say to our congregation.
First things I want to make it clear, we're not going to Spain. Okay? Maybe. I'm very humbled, you know, after so many years. At the beginning, I said, I want to help you until you find a pastor. Well, that took 22 years. Finally, we found him. My time has come to an end in that particular area, which is serving as a pastor. But my heart continues to be serving God. We've been serving together for a long time, and that's just our life. But one thing we do want to say tonight is, first, thank you to Matthew, your leadership, your friendship, your love for our congregation. Also, thank my wife. I could have not done this without her. She's been by my side, putting up with me, everybody and everything, and she's been a great, great partner in this endeavor. Yes, thank you. But then I also want to thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be used by God. God, through us, he works amazing. Thanks to your love, for you to show me Christ, for God to save me from where I was, for God to do something in me that I never thought it was possible. I'm a walking miracle of what God can do. And when I surrendered my life to Christ, I said, it's all yours. And I want to thank you for your love, for embracing our community, for loving us the way you do, but mostly for partnering with us to expand God's kingdom here on earth. And I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, this is my church. This will always be my church. And we love this place. I was born here in this church. And this is where we're going to be. In a different capacity, doing other things. But I want to tell you, thank you Thank you very much for loving amigos and loving our family the way you did. Appreciate it.
You bet. As you remain seated, if you're comfortable, I would love for you just to extend an arm out to the stage as we pray over George and Patty. Father, thank you for this couple. Thank you for their dedication. I want to thank you for all the people that know you because of our Amigos congregation and this church. I want to thank you that you saved him. I want to thank you for Saba Takahashi that shared Jesus with him. I want to thank you that he came to know here, know you here. I want to thank you that, God, you called him here to clean our church. And then you did a work in this man. And you have worked in and through him and through Patty. And for both of them, we are so grateful. And Friends Church is so much better because of them. Thank you for what they have brought. Thank you for what they'll continue to bring. We pray over the Amigos congregation as they make their transition. And God, we just pray your blessing upon them, upon Fabio, upon the new days that are ahead. And I thank you for the great foundation that has been given and laid by George and Patty and their kids. And now, Father, as they go into this new season, we pray your blessing over them. Would you continue to watch over them? Would you bless them in health? God, would you bless them as they walk together in this new season? And Father, would you be glorified in all things? So we thank you for the great things you do in and through just ordinary people who choose to surrender their lives to you. And we thank you for George and Patty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Gracias.
Thank you, God. Thank you. So I want to close. And I said to our team, I said, I have no idea what I'm going to close with because I don't know what's going to happen after we say goodbye to George. But here's what I do know. You have a choice tonight, just like George did. And you have a choice to make in what's going to be the foundation of your life. And the question is it going to be really, is it going to be the world or is it going to be the Word? And if the foundation of your life is the Word and it is God, then He's calling you to something more. He's calling you to give of yourself to Him in everything. And James comes along and he says in verse 18, you're a first fruits. He said, you're kind of a new generation. He says, you're the beginning of something, but you're not the end of it. And tonight, as first fruits of Christ, you're just beginning. You are preparing the way for somebody else. And you never know what you might be able to do for the kingdom of God until you just say, yes, God, I'm all in. And the only way that you're going to be able to walk in an understanding of who Jesus is, and the only way you're ever going to be able to resist temptation over and over again, is God and His Word and the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. There's just no other way. N.T. Wright says this about the Word of God. He says this. He says that the Word of God is like medicine, which it goes down deep inside, healing our inner hurts and changing our inner motivations so that we can become different people. God didn't save you to stay the same. He saved you to be different. He calls you set apart. And when you open God's Word, God speaks. And when God speaks, things happen. And then things happen to us. And then some things happen in us. And then something happens through us. And we sit back and we go, I don't even know or understand how all of this took place. It can only be God. But when you read God's Word, the writer of Hebrews said this in Hebrews 4, for the Word of God is alive and it is active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And so tonight, God's Word is alive and it is living. And let me tell you, it's God speaking directly to you. And many times it is sharp and it convicts, but God's Word brings health. It brings fruitfulness. It brings fulfillment. It heals and it delivers. Psalm 119 says that when we hide God's word in our heart, that we will not sin against Him. It's a source of strength, and it's a continual source of life. You see, God's word brings peace to those who love it. And you'll be able to stand in a secure place in a place of safety with God and His Word. See, when you are in the Word of God, you are into Jesus. Because John 1 just said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Tonight, church, God wants to speak to you. And maybe you don't have peace, and maybe you don't have strength, and maybe you don't have hope, and it's maybe because you have not chosen to let the Word of God be the foundation of your life. I'm so grateful for great examples like George and Patty, who literally just said, God called us to serve here, and that's what we're going to do. And then they lead a church. God's called you the same. I don't know what it is He's called you to do, but He's got a calling on your life. And so tonight, as we close, you're either going to chase the world or you're going to run after the Word. And some of you need to stop chasing after the world and start running towards the Word. Because the world is temporary, and it's dying, and it's fleeting, and it ends in death. But you start running to this, and this starts to become your foundation. There is life, and there is hope, and there is peace in this one called Jesus. My invitation to you tonight is, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Stop playing around. Stop playing church. And be all that God's called you to be. And James comes and he says, listen, every single one of us, you're a first fruits. You can start something new and different. And it isn't just for you. It's for the next generation. My encouragement tonight is, stop chasing the world and start running to the Word. And let's see what God does in and through you, like He did in and through Patty and George. Would you stand with me? Father, tonight, we just thank You for the foundation we have and the victory we can have in You. God, we thank You tonight for what You're doing beyond the walls of this campus. God, we thank You for what's going to happen in Eastvale tomorrow. We thank You for what's going to happen in Buena Park and in Orange. We thank You for what's going to happen in Amigos. And God, next month, we thank You for what's going to happen in Corona. And then next year, we thank You for Tustin. God, what's happening halfway around the world in Spain is because You have drawn people to Yourself and people to us. And so we just sit back and we say thank You. May we be faithful to continue to walk through the open doors that You give. And tonight, may we be faithful with our time and our talent and our treasure, because everything we have is Yours, God. And so I pray as we leave this place, we will be encouraged, we will be inspired, we will be reminded again that it is Your Word that is to be the foundation of everything that we say and everything that we do. And that, God, culture wants to change and people want to change, and next generations want to come and say, well, God probably didn't really mean that for 2023. And God, Your Word never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our hope is in it and in You. And so as culture seems to shift over and over again, may we not shift, God. May we stand strong in who You are. May we love You with all our hearts. May we love each other. And may we flee from sin and take a stand for You, Jesus Christ. So tonight, we thank You for all You're doing through Friends Church, and we thank You for Your many blessings. So as we leave this place, we just acknowledge it. We make it our declaration that we are going to be people that stand up on Your Word and stand for You in all circumstances. And we do this in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.